you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, October 21st, 2024. As you know, on Mondays, we're going through the book of Exodus, typically with Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church. But today you're going to hear from another pastor from CU Church, Matt Clark, and he'll be dividing and sharing from Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. Here's Pastor Matt Clark of CU Church.
Anybody in here good at making excuses? I saw a few hands go up, and I saw a couple of you look at the person next to you, right? A while back, I was leading a camp of high school students, and it was the last night of this week-long camp, and I was outside at 3 in the morning. That's a story for another day. But while I was outside, I noticed that there was a group of 5 high school girls that were walking down the sidewalk, and I thought, I don't think you're supposed to be there. And so I walk over to the high school girls and I said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And they said, "Oh, our friend is lost. We're out looking for her." And so I said, "I doubt it. I said, I doubt it. I said, you've been here for 7 days. I don't think your friend is lost. Why don't you go back to your dorm?" So they wandered back to their dorm. So then I started thinking, like, I wonder why these 5 high school girls were outside at 3 in the morning wandering around this campus. And I noticed that there was a parking garage off in the distance. You know what? I'm going to walk down to that parking garage and just check it out. So I walk down to this parking garage, and I go up onto the top floor of the parking garage, and guess what I find? 5 high school boys. Yes. So I walk over to these 5 high school boys, and I say, "Boys, what are we doing?" And they said, "Oh, we came out here to watch the sunrise." And I laughed just like you did. I laughed just like you did. And I said, "The girls you were waiting on, I found them already and sent them back to your dorm." And so then they kind of ducked their heads and we had a conversation. Anybody in here good at excuses? Right? Excuses. It's part of who we are sometimes that I don't know about you, but I can naturally make them and not even realize I'm making them. Excuses. And that's where we find ourselves in Exodus chapter 4. We find ourselves right in the middle of a conversation that the Lord is having with Moses. And Moses is making excuses. And if you were here last week, you kind of know where we are. If you weren't, I'm going to catch you up real quick, but you can get the full version of it if you go to the podcast online. But here's quickly what has happened is that the Lord has shown up to Moses. Moses is out taking care of his sheep, and a bush catches on fire, but it doesn't burn, and the bush speaks to Moses, and the bush is the Lord. And the bush calls Moses to something. I guess I shouldn't say the bush. The Lord calls Moses to something through the bush. And he calls him to something very specific. And it showed up in verse 10. Moses' people were being enslaved in Egypt. And God was raising up someone to go and deliver them. And guess who that someone was going to be? Moses. So God says to Moses, "Come, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to deliver my people from the hand of the Egyptians." And then Moses starts to make excuses. And every excuse that he makes 5 in total. We're going to talk about 3 of them today. He makes 5 in total. The 2 we talked about last week. Every excuse he makes, the Lord affirms him. He affirms his faith. His first excuse, God says, "I will be with you." An affirmation of his faith. His second excuse, God says, "I promise that I will take care of this." And the Lord actually tells Moses exactly how he's going to take care of this major problem of how he's going to rescue his people. He says, "My mighty hand is going to perform these mighty works, and they're going to let you all go." And then he even says, "It's going to be such a mighty act that the people in Egypt are going to give you gold and jewelry to take with you as you leave." Tells him exactly how he's going to do it. And Moses, he's like us. I shouldn't throw you guys in there. He's like me. He's good with excuses. And he's got some. Especially when it comes to the things that God might call us to. And you might be thinking in here that I don't know that God has called me to go rescue people from slavery in Egypt. Rightfully so. But I will say this. Everybody in this room, this is going to be a big sweep right here. Everybody in this room, we have all been called to things. Two of those are the same. Two of those are the same. And we've been called to them by the Lord. God has called us to them. One is salvation. God has called us to a relationship with Jesus. Whether or not we walk into that is entirely up to us. And we got to see it experienced this morning through this baptism of saying, yes, I'm walking into a relationship with Jesus and you've called me to that and I'm accepting that invitation. And at times in our lives, if we've made that declaration, if we've said yes to that call, maybe we can remember some of the excuses that we made up before we walked into that call. The second one is if we've said yes to the call of Jesus to wander into a relationship with him, meaning that we're a follower of Jesus, we have all been called to serve in his kingdom. All of us have. To been called to serve in his kingdom. And it can be very specific, like it is with Moses right here. He's being called to a very specific service task. Go rescue the nation of Israel. It might not be that specific all the time. It could just be generally, we are all called as followers of Jesus to love and serve the people around us. And that could be all kinds of different people. Could be people in our family, could be people in our neighborhood, could be people in our dorm, could be people in our apartment, could be people at our school, could be people on our team. Like, you get the idea. That as a follower of Jesus, we're all called to that, to love and serve the people who are around us. And if you've ever been in any of those settings where God has called you into those spaces, maybe you're not like me, but I know that I have made some excuses to come up with some reasons why I shouldn't be the one loving and serving that particular person. And so I say all that just to bring us all into this conversation today with Moses and the Lord, because there are three more excuses that he gives, but there are also three more affirmations that the Lord gives to affirm his faith. And for me, these were encouragements to me this week that I needed these because I can resonate with the place that Moses is in, partly because I've been called to love and serve the people around me, and I have been a dad. Sometimes it's hard to love and serve those kids. I've been a spouse. Maybe you've been a grandparent. Maybe you've been a boss. Maybe you've been a coworker. Maybe you've, whatever the relational piece that you've been in, that you're called to love and serve those people. And it's easy to come up with reasons why I shouldn't. So that's where we find ourselves, in the middle of this conversation with the Lord and Moses, and he's making excuses. And chapter 4, verse 1 starts off with one of those excuses. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" Moses is saying, no one will believe me when I come to tell them what it is that you are going to do. And it's important to remember that who Moses is going to tell this to is all the Israelites, all of his own people. He's going to go tell them, God's going to rescue all of you from Egypt, and he's going to use me to do it. And he's saying, they won't believe me. They won't believe me. They won't believe the words that are going to come out of my mouth. Let me say it like this. Moses is worried that he's going to look foolish in this thing that God has invited him to do. Moses is saying, God, I don't know enough to have that conversation with all of these people. I don't have enough information. I don't know enough to do this very thing. And so you know what God does? He affirms him. Although I guess I could put it in the form of a question. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like God has called you into a situation and you thought, I don't know enough to do this thing that God has called me into? God is inviting me to have a conversation with one of my friends about Jesus. I don't know enough. I don't know enough to do that. Have you ever felt that way? Listen to the affirmations that the Lord gives to Moses, and he does them in the form of signs. Let me give you the first one. Verse 2, the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And Moses said, "A staff." And so the Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. Good decision. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." And so he put out his hand and he caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Did you catch that? Moses had a staff. God said, "Throw the staff on the ground and it will become a snake." And as soon as it hits the ground, what does Moses do? What I would do, runs away. It's a snake. Now, I wasn't there, but this is an educated guess on my part. There's a good chance that that snake is a cobra. Good chance. That serpent is a cobra. Why do I say that? Do you remember history class whenever you were in elementary school? Remember history class? Talking about the pharaohs. You remember whenever there would be old pictures of them, or if you Google them, that pharaohs wore a headdress. And you remember what was on the headdress? Cobra, snake, serpent. Was on the headdress. In ancient Egypt, that serpent would also be connected to religion and to a god that they would tie together. And so it would be a part of their worship, but it'd also be a part of the Egyptian royal authority and their religion. And so God says, throw your staff down on the ground and it'll become a snake. What's one thing that they would have been afraid of? Egyptian royal authority, Pharaoh, everything he stood for. He says, turn it into a serpent. And then he says, reach down and grab it by the tail. Which I don't know about you. I haven't caught many snakes in my life. I've only killed them. Sorry. Shouldn't have. That's confession part on my part right here. I've only killed them. But apparently I've been told that you don't catch them by the tail, that you catch them by the head. And he says, reach down and catch it by the tail. And Moses, obedient to the words of God, reaches down and catches it by the tail. What is God affirming in Moses right here? One thing that Moses is trying to learn through this whole conversation, maybe it's something that we're all trying to learn too, is that God is able. That Moses hasn't come to the place where he absolutely believes that yet, that he's still walking in that. He's still trying to figure that out. And God's trying to teach him, I'm able. God is able to do everything that he says he can do. Right? And so there's this belief system that Moses is working through and God is helping him get there. And so what is God telling Moses here? I'm greater than any opposition that you will face. And listen to how he continues to say it. He continues to say it by this. He says, verse 6, again, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And then God said, put your hand back inside your cloak. And so he put his hand back inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, it was restored like that of his flesh. Puts his hand inside, and it comes out leprous, meaning that it's covered in a skin disease that's incurable. And in this time in Egyptian history, they would have been afraid of that, an incurable disease. And God is telling Moses, I have authority over sickness and disease. I am greater than any opposition. You hearing it? So let me give you one more. Verse 8, if they will not believe you, God said, or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even those two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground. And the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on dry ground. Take water out of this river. And the river, the Nile River, was significant for Egyptian culture in that day. It was the source of wealth and power. The way it ran through their community, it provided soil that grew them crops that were better than anybody else's. Wealth and power. It was something that they worshiped because of the life force that it provided for their community. It was a part of their security as a nation. It brought them security. And so the Lord said, dip a cup in there and pour it out and it'll turn to blood. And that blood represents the idea that I have power and authority over the thing that gives them the most security in all of life. I am greater than any opposition. He's affirming Moses' faith. You remember the excuse? Lord, I don't know enough to do this thing you've called me to. And God says, I'm greater than any opposition that's going to come your way. I'm greater. God is saying, I'm able. God is able. Verse 10. Moses goes on down his excuse book and he comes to the next one. But Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Moses is saying, I am dull and heavy of mouth. That's what the language would mean. Moses is saying, I'm not good with words. Ever felt that way? I'm not good at putting a sentence together and making it sound appropriate or the right way. Now, remember who Moses was. Moses was educated in Egyptian schools, that he was trained and equipped to be what the Disney movie said, the Prince of Egypt. He was trained to be that. And so there's this confidence that he would have, but there's this strength that he would have too. But there's also this weakness that he would have, and he gives it to us right now. And what does he say it is? I'm not good with words. That put me in front of a group of people and expect me to talk to them and to rally them and to communicate to them. I'm not good at that. That's not what, here's what I learned in this, and this is convicting to me, I guess is the word I would say, that God doesn't always call us to our strengths. That sometimes I think that the things that God calls us to are just be the things that I'm good at and the things that I'm comfortable with. But what I've learned in my years of journeying with Jesus is that he most often calls me to the things that I'm uncomfortable with and that aren't my strengths. I debated whether or not to share this with you today. And Daniel said, share it. So if it doesn't go well, it's his fault. By nature, if I walk into a room like this, I want to sit in the furthest back corner and be as far away from people as possible. I am extremely introverted. And I stand up here in front of a group of people and I get these things going on in my stomach that are, I'll just keep those between me. But I believe, here's what I'm saying. I am heavy and dull of mouth. I resonate with Moses when he says that. I don't have the words. But I believe with all my heart that God called me to be a pastor and a preacher. And I rely 100% on his strength and ability to put me in a place like this. Listen to what God says to Moses. Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute, deaf, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to speak." That God says, I am the creator of the mouth. I'm the creator of you. And I'm the ultimate teacher. God says, I'll give you the words. I wrote it down in my Bible like this. Here's the affirmation. Moses says, I don't know what to say. And God says, I will equip you. Moses says, I don't know what to do. And God says, I'll equip you. Right? Moses says, I don't know enough to do this. And God says, I'm greater than any opposition you will face. Moses says, I don't have the words to speak. I don't have the words to give. I don't have the ability to do this thing that you've asked me to do. And God says, I'll take care of that. I'll equip you. And he's got one more excuse. Maybe you'll resonate with this one. Verse 13. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. he just comes to the very heart of it. And he's like, God, I'm looking at the bench right now, and there's a whole lot of depth on this bench, and there's a whole lot more people over here that are equipped to do this thing that you're asking me to do. Send one of them. Send one of them. They're better at it. There's got to be somebody else. Look at this room filled with people. There's got to be somebody else and that they could do this thing. And listen to what the Lord says. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. I want you to notice something. It says that the Lord gets angry. I don't think God gets angry because Moses is having this excuse conversation. God's grace is big enough to have that conversation with us, and he invites us into it. So don't be afraid of that conversation. But I do think that God is getting a little bit angry. This is my opinion here. God is getting angry because this is now, he's now affirmed Moses four times in his faith. And he's getting a little angry because Moses isn't trusting God at his word. That he's saying to you, I will be with you. He's saying, I promise I'll take care of this. He's saying that I am the creator and greater than any opposition. He's saying, I'll equip you to do everything I ask you to do. And Moses says, send someone else. And God's getting a little angry because he wants Moses to trust him, to trust him. But notice this, God is extremely gracious in his anger. I want you to catch this. Notice what he does. He says, then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs. That Moses says, send someone else. And God says, I'll send you Aaron. I'll give you somebody who's good at speaking. But Moses, you're still going to be the mediator. Moses, I'm the Lord, and I'm still going to talk to you. And you're going to take those words and you're going to give them to Aaron. And Aaron's going to be the messenger. And you two are going to lock arms and you're going to do this together. What's God saying? What's the affirmation that the Lord is giving to Moses there? Moses is saying, someone else is better. And God's saying, I'm still going to provide for you, Moses, even though you think someone else is better. You're still the guy that I've chosen to do this thing. I'm going to provide for you someone to do it alongside you that can help you. But you're still the one I've called to do this thing. That the affirmation is that I'm a provider. And if I'm inviting you into this, I'm going to provide for you the things that you need to do it. An affirmation of his faith. And then did you notice the one thing that he told Moses to take? I find this interesting. He says, don't forget your staff. It was kind of like Moses had walked out of the conversation. He's like, hang on a minute, Moses, come back here. You forgot your staff. It's the staff that he would have used as a shepherd. But remember where he's going. He's going in to all of the Israelites, and he's going to tell them this great thing that the Lord is going to do through him to deliver them. And there's tens of thousands of them. And he's also going to go before maybe one of the most ruthless leaders that they've ever seen and that we've ever seen in this Pharaoh. And he's going to say, hey, buddy, you're going to let all these people go. This feels like he's walking into a battle and he needs warrior tools. But what does the Lord send him with? A staff. Now, this is spoiler alert. The staff is going to become to be a representation of the presence of the Lord for the nation of Israel for a long time. For a long time. The staff is what's going to be used by the Lord to part the seas. The staff is going to be used as a presence of the Lord reminder for generations. And so in some ways, God is saying, don't forget your staff, because remember, I'm providing you Aaron, but I'm also providing you the presence of the Lord. And so Moses comes at the Lord with these excuses. I don't know enough. And God says, I'm greater than any opposition that'll come your way. And then he says, man, I'm just not, I don't know how to say the words the right way. I'm not equipped to do this. And what does God say? I'll equip you. And then he says, it's got to be someone else. And then he says, I'll provide for you everything you need. You're the one I've invited into this. I started to think about that one for a little bit. Because sometimes when we read stories like this, we think, man, this is pretty sweet. Moses is having a verbal conversation with the Lord. And I'll stand before you and say, all my life, 44 years, I've never heard an audible voice of God speak to me. But God has spoken to me. And so sometimes we think like, oh, I don't know if I could have one of these experiences. How do I know that? And so let me give you a for instance. I remember being in, I might have shared this with you before. If I did, I apologize. I'm going back a few years. I remember being in college. And I kind of gave you a hint inside my personality and my natural. I had this feeling that God was calling me to spend 3 weeks a month in Malaysia. If you don't know where that's at, it's a long way from Indiana, where I'm from. And way outside the comfort zone of somebody who likes to know his surroundings, be at home, and his mom's home cooking. It's a long way from there. But I had this belief that God was calling me to go on this trip. And I was freaked out, all kinds of reasons, freaked out. One of those reasons was you had to raise money to do it. You had to raise a significant amount of money. And I had about a month before this trip was going to go. We were going to go over to Malaysia. And it was a basketball team, and we were going to travel around the country playing basketball and getting up in front of crowds of people and presenting the gospel. I was a little freaked out by that too. I remember just praying, God, I don't know about this. God, I don't know about this. If there's somebody else that would be better to do this, why don't you go ahead and give them the opportunity and I'll bow out. You ever prayed that prayer? Put somebody else in the position to do it and I'll step out and that'll be okay. I'll be okay with that. You know what he did? I got a letter in the mail as I was trying to raise funds, a couple thousand dollars for a college kid whose dad's a preacher. Didn't have a lot of that. So waiting for it to cut. And it wasn't coming. And so I was praying this prayer and I got this letter. Inside this letter was a post-it note. And that post-it note was, you can see right here, two $1 bills. I've never spent them. These two $1 bills are 20 years old. And there was a note written on it, on this post-it note. And it said, Matt, Blake and Dylan, they were elementary age kids. They were probably like 6 and 8, two brothers. Blake and Dylan wanted to give you some money for your trip. Good luck and God bless. And you can't see it, but they signed it in their elementary age handwriting, Blake and Dylan. What was God doing? He was speaking. He was using his people to speak a message to someone that he had called into something. And he was saying, I will provide for you. I will provide for you. I wrote this phrase down in my Bible that God surprises, this is what I wrote about Moses, that God surprises the ill-prepared and calls them out of an unlikely or ordinary setting to leave no doubt that his power and his might are at work. What is God inviting you to? What is God calling you to? What is God calling you to? What conversations is he calling you to have? What people is he calling you to love and serve? What relationships is he calling you to be a godly example in? I don't know if you noticed this or not, but in chapter 4, there's 17 verses. Three of them, Moses is speaking. The rest of them, God is speaking. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but actually the phrase, the Lord said, God said, he said, that referencing God speaking shows up 8 different times. It shows up 8 different times. And here's what I was reminded of this week, that Moses was invited into this thing. And I remember I said at the beginning that all of us have been called to something by the Lord. It's either I'm walking into salvation with him or I'm walking in to serve his kingdom in some way, to love and serve people. And sometimes that's with my strengths. Oftentimes it's with my weaknesses, because that means that I have to rely on him more to pull me through that. 8 different times it's referenced that the Lord said. Here's what that was. I think God was opening this up for me. Moses' role was simply to show up, and God's role was to take care of everything else. And it becomes the same for us. And so ultimately, it's a question that the Lord is working his way in through with Moses, and I'm going to pose it to you today. Do you trust that God is able? Do we trust that God is able? Do we trust that God is able in my relationships? Do we trust that God is able in my workplace? Do we trust that God is able in anything that you could finish that sentence with? Do we trust that God is able? I don't want to be known for my excuses. I want to be known for walking into the things that God is calling me into. Let me pray.
You just heard from Pastor Matt Clark from CU Church sharing about Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17, and he closed the time in prayer. Points to take with you today: the Lord reigns and he has set apart his people. May you not make excuses, but be empowered by God to be his witness, his ambassador, knowing that you can speak on his behalf. And by way of FYI, tomorrow and Wednesday, we'll continue with a series by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church with the topic, How to Get Through What You're Going Through. And tomorrow and Wednesday, we'll focus on sorrow, getting through life's losses. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.